What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave's Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
Mind Yourself Now.
Now, each Monday around this time, we ask you to mind yourself now and have experts in to look after your mind, body and spirit. For the month of May, we're going to look after your body. We'll be joined by an eye specialist. We'll be looking at your skin, your physical fitness. And we're kicking off by looking at your ticker. Professor David Burke is a consultant cardiologist and director of cardiology at the Beacon Hospital in Dublin. He's here to answer your heart-related questions. Hello, David.
Good morning, guys. How are you? It's nice to be able to come back in.
Yeah, good to have you in person. Yeah.
Has it been a busier time for you, do you think, over the last couple of years? Well, obviously the hospitals had their attention in other places generally, but are you seeing a kind of a backlog of people coming to you now with issues?
Yeah, definitely. It was busy with the COVID bump initially, and then I suppose as that petered out a bit, we saw the backlog definitely kick in, and then there was a lot of, I suppose, worried well people as well along the way who didn't get themselves checked out. So yeah, it's been busy, persistently busy.
Do you think people come to you with heart-related questions or issues because maybe over the last couple of years they've spent more time with themselves, sitting at home or sitting stiller than usual, or maybe experiencing some anxiety and being aware of maybe palpitations and things?
There's two parts to that. I think a lot of people who had COVID, and I suppose that's most people at this stage, definitely ran into issues with some sort of symptoms that could be tied into, I suppose, vaguely related heart things as well. So they were keen to get checked out. And then exactly that, I think the mental health aspect of the whole piece has really played into what people feel and how they feel, and certainly want to get themselves checked out just to be sure.
Yeah. Well, let's go through some of the questions that have come in. There's lots of them on 087-4100-102. How many women of perimenopausal age come to you worried about heart palpitations, and do you recommend replacing lost hormones as an option to protect the heart, is the question.
Yeah, we see a lot of women who are perimenopausal running into issues with a little bit of chest tightness, shortness of breath, but palpitations in particular. And I suppose 99% of palpitations tend to be just extra beats, or what we call ectopics. And they will kick off with lots of things: caffeine, alcohol, fatigue, stress, viral illnesses. So we're seeing a lot of it with COVID, but definitely any hormonal change. And so we see a lot of women who would come, get themselves checked out, and actually the heart testing would look good. And I suppose ultimately it relates to the menopause itself.
Right.
In terms of replacing the hormones, in the olden days, that was done quite widely. Then there was a sense that it may be not ideal from a heart point of view, that it might increase your risk of running into trouble. Nowadays, we would say if you need the treatment, take the treatment.
Okay.
Morning, Dermot and Dave. Rosie here. Just have a question for Dr. David. I've been feeling very tired for the last few weeks. Pains down my legs and out of breath. My heart sometimes beats really weird. Don't sleep well some nights, and there's a history of heart disease in my family. Should I see a specialist?
I suppose the symptoms are a little bit wide-ranging from a heart point of view. The pains down the legs, it'd be hard to tie that into a heart issue. The out of breath, maybe. The palpitations a little bit. But the sleeping, hard to know. I suppose it sounds like something's not quite right. I don't know that a heart specialist would be first on the list, but certainly link in with your GP and get some blood tests and a check over.
And if sometimes your GP gives you the advice we probably all want, which is, you're fine, don't worry about it, but maybe sometimes that just doesn't kind of set your mind at ease. There's a text in that says, I keep getting a pain in my chest around the area of my heart. It's not muscular, it's not overly debilitating. I'm only 31 and my doctor said I shouldn't be concerned, but there is a family history of heart trouble. Is it worth getting a couple of tests to be sure?
I suppose we'd see an awful lot of people with chest discomforts of varying sorts. The one thing that raises a red flag from a heart point of view is if you're getting an exertional chest tightness. So if you're pushing up a hill, out for a walk, walking the dog, and you get a tightness in the chest, and then you stop and it settles down, that certainly would flag with us, and we'd say best to get that checked out. I suppose when there's heart trouble in the family, you tend to be much more aware of these things anyway. But if you're sitting there getting tweaks and twinges, you know, a little bit of dragging, it's usually not anything. It's usually, or certainly usually not heart related. Top of the list would be muscular. I suppose your stomach sits just up underneath your heart. It could relate to that. Mm. But yeah, I mean, if it's something that persists and it's not settling down and you are worried about it, it's easy to get it checked out.
I got my cholesterol down from 7.2 to 5 recently, says somebody. Is there any lasting damage on my artery walls, and does any build-up remain? Or does it go when the cholesterol levels are at the right level, asks Tony.
Cholesterol will build up in all of the blood vessels as you get older, and I suppose the higher the number in general terms, the more likely it is to build. The one problem with cholesterol is that once it builds up within the wall of the blood vessel, it actually doesn't go away. There's no way to take it away. There's no medication. There's no operation. There's no trick. And so I suppose that's why you'll hear us all talking about trying to get the cholesterol down over time, because it really does serve to future-proof you. If your number is 7.2, absolutely, you'd be keen to get that down. 5 as a ballpark is considered normal. So 5 or less is what you want. But we look at good and bad. LDL is your bad cholesterol, and you're really looking for a 2.5. So 2.5 or less for that. But yes, the problem with it is that over time, whatever builds up is stuck there, unfortunately.
Right. Professor David Burke is joining us for Mind Yourself Now, consultant cardiologist, director of cardiology at the Beacon Hospital and director of the Beacon Hospital Research Institute. Another question for you, David, about Kate, actually. My 11-year-old, who is very healthy, says the text, and plays a lot of camogie, had an ECG a couple of years ago because she complained of pain in her heart area. Nothing showed up. However, she periodically complains of a tightness in her chest. This would happen when she could be sitting down at home. Is this something to be worried about?
Again, pain as you're sitting there usually isn't. It's more likely to be a muscular thing. It's completely different then for an 11-year-old. So in children, chest discomfort is usually not an issue, usually not at all, unless the story becomes, again, having pain while she's playing camogie or really under pressure. The red flag symptoms in children tend to be blackouts or significant discomfort when they're playing sports. So an ECG is just a heart tracing. It serves to give you a snapshot of the heart electrics. It gives you a sense of things. It's not a very comprehensive test by any stretch. But an 11-year-old with chest discomfort, again, top of the list would be a muscular issue or even growing.
And just very quickly, then, you've said that a few times. So then it is when you exert yourself and feel that tightness, that's when you kind of think that you should be asking questions.
That fits
in general
into what we would call the typical description.
Yeah, okay.
Anything outside of that, we'd call it atypical. Now, everybody's different, and like that, if it's something that persists or something that you're worried about, easy to get checked out. But absolutely, the classic would be, I'm pushing up a hill, I'm halfway up there, it gets tight, and then I stop and it goes away.
Okay.
Mm. Could you ask David, I finally quit smoking, and I'd love to know if I can reverse the damage done to my heart. Will I see an impact, or is the damage done?
You can see an impact. The quitting, a heavy smoker who quits can cut down the risk of heart trouble over the course of 5 years by about 40%. So that's a bit of a mouthful.
Wow.
But I suppose after 5 years, your risk of a heart attack is cut by about a third. There's an awful lot of work shown to prove that after 10 or 15 years after you stop smoking, your heart and lungs can improve to a point similar to that of a non-smoker. Now, I suppose the crux of that is how long you've been smoking for and how little and how much at that point. I suppose it's hard to believe that you'd completely revert to somebody who never smoked after 15 or 20 years, but certainly it is possible. The one figure that always strikes me is that heavy smokers cut their lifespan by about 13 years on average. So people who smoke heavily cut over a decade off your life, which is actually an incredible thought, really.
Yeah, 13 years, that is terrifying. Laura from Galway here. David, I'm constantly cold. This has worsened since I've had COVID. What can I do to improve circulation? I currently work out 5 days a week.
So someone who's fit, we're seeing an awful lot of issues in people who've had COVID, and it's incredibly variable. And the problem is there's not a whole lot that you can do. I suppose it's a sit tight and hope that it improves. There are all sorts of issues, palpitations, chest discomfort, fatigue is a huge one, and there's no way to really measure it, and there's no real way to treat it bar sit tight. The feeling cold, I've seen that a couple of times. I don't know what the underlying process is in terms of what causes it, but we do tend to see it, and I suppose for the vast majority of people, we're hoping that it'll just settle out.
Mm.
I keep getting a fluttering in my chest. It feels like my heart is racing. I don't drink any caffeine, but I've been really stressed, and now I'm worried about this. which is probably adding to the stress. When should you start to worry about things like chest pain or discomfort? I mean, is this something you come across a lot, people just feeling there's something just not quite right in my chest?
Yeah, 100%. That's I suppose it makes up the bulk of what I see, really. An awful lot of people who want to get themselves checked out because of various symptoms. Palpitations, I keep using that as a term, but I suppose a fluttering sensation in your chest is usually, and by and large, it's just extra beats. And most of us have 100,000 heartbeats in a day. And most of us have a couple of hundred extras. And again, caffeine, alcohol, stress, fatigue, and viral illnesses and hormonal changes, like we said, can set all these things off. And they come and go. Most people feel a little flutter, a thump, a drop, a skip. It varies. And they're usually of no consequence. They tend to be more common at nighttime or when you're resting, simply because your natural heart rate slows down at that point and your heart has more of a chance to fire them in there. So again, it goes back to the piece. If you're getting any palpitations with exertion, that raises a flag. If you're having an odd flutter or a little twitch in the heart at nighttime when you're sitting watching Netflix, there's usually not a whole lot to it.
Yeah, and you could be watching The Walking Dead.
You deserve a flutter on that. Yeah. Somebody who has had open heart surgery says, Dr. David, do you ever fully recover from open heart surgery, or do you find your new normal?
That's a great question. I think you find your new normal. What you'd like to think is that you should be improved. So most people that I see who end up going for surgery, it's because they have significant heart disease underneath, and I suppose they've struggled with some sort of a symptom or some sort of an issue up to that point. And I suppose the operation can be a big enough job, and we would say to people, take 6 or 8 weeks to recover fully. Sometimes they take a little bit longer, but what you'd hope is that once they get through that process, and everybody does, and everybody does well, once you get through that process, that you will have a new normal, which in theory should be better than your old
normal. It should be better because you've repaired whatever the issue was, but I suppose maybe what the person is talking about is that recovery period, because I mean, open heart surgery is as major as you can get, really, isn't it?
It's a big enough job, yeah. And I think the physical fix comes, you know, and that sort of is a gradual process, and the psychological hit tends to be fairly obvious, and you see people struggle with that to some degree, all right. But I suppose that's why we're there, to try and guide people through that and improve upon it. But the new normal should, in theory,
should
be better.
Yeah.
Someone asks, can back pain be a symptom of a heart attack?
It can, yeah. I suppose it's very different for everybody. The classic of, you know, crushing central chest pain is not always there. Back discomfort, I've seen that. I had a woman one time with the pain in her tooth, actually, and she went to 3 or 4 different dentists, and the third or fourth fella said, check someone else. And sure enough, she was having a heart attack, or was having angina, chest discomfort related to it. So it's incredibly variable for people. But yes, back discomfort can be.
And she felt that in her tooth.
Believe it or not, yeah. And we found a blockage there, put a stent in, and the toothache went away. So
wow. How are they connected?
You can get the classic is you get a discomfort up into your left shoulder or your jaw. And that's thought to relate to the sensation from your vagus nerve. So that gives you sensation in your diaphragm, actually, or right down where your heart is. And your head, nothing is happening in your jaw or your shoulder, but your head senses that it is. You can't distinguish between it. So some people will just get the jaw, some people will just get the shoulder, some people will just get, she had tooth. So just odd, yeah, but not common.
There's a lot of people now with sensitive teeth going, that's it, I'm having a heart attack.
As I put that out there as a potential, go to your dentist first, yeah.
Well, actually, one of the questions that came in there just a minute ago was just for your about yourself in general. Like, I mean, obviously, research advances in medical technology, everything, the landscape changes for people in the medical practice a lot. So how do you stay on top of those things and be able to bring the latest technology or the latest research into the work that you've been trained to do over such a long period of time? You have to stay on top of both sides of things, don't you?
You do. In cardiology, it moves at a blistering pace. But I suppose the beauty of it is incredibly interesting. And we get to play with a lot of gadgets and all of the new tech. And that's fantastic. So people come along, they have us test out the new equipment as part of clinical trials or testing. And then you get to integrate that into your work. And that's just amazing.
Yeah.
But I suppose you're building on the same skill set. It's just fancy plumbing in the end of the day. And you're using just new tools and new equipment to do that, or new medications. But yeah, that's, I love that part of it.
How do you check your own heart? Can you kind of hook yourself up to everything after hours?
I'm smiling on the inside because I did that recently, yes.
Just to be sure. You're right.
What's going on in there?
Well, we need you to continue for as long as possible to look after us, David Burke. So please do.
And look, you know, the toys are there. You might as well play with them. That's what I would say.
That is Professor David Burke, consultant cardiologist, director of cardiology at the Beacon Hospital and director of the Beacon Hospital Research Institute.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. today.